I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know. You're watching the movie? Me's movies?
Two people on this podcast have watched all three Atlas Shrugged movies.
I listened to the Flophouse episode about the first one, but that's about it.
Yeah, well, we're going to out-Flophouse the Flophouse.
You mean the best one?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. All right. Listener Swilliams in the chat room, who I've met, says, thank you for turning off Genesis. No, you're welcome. You're not welcome. Would you like me to turn Genesis back on? Because I will. If you anger me.
Maybe I think we should do a comic books club on sequels and whether or not they're necessary at some point, too, because I have things to say about that.
I have some Marvel 1602 sequel thoughts, but we'll get to that some other time.
As a guy who is, I think, three parts into what will end up being a six-part epic on Marvel crossovers, on my own podcast, having recently gone through Secret Wars 2, don't do this to yourselves.
Man.
I just read Contest of Champions 2. You don't have to do this. You have a choice. Walk away.
Are you going to do JLA / Avengers? Does that count?
JLA Avengers, we mentioned briefly in the two-part DC one, and we're going to have to bring it back up again in the epilogue because we realized that there was another really weird DC Marvel crossover when the Wildstorm universe invaded Heroes Reborn.
Oh my.
Yeah.
So they do show up again down the road in several of these sequels, spinoffs, Misbegotten sequels, and things like that. Some of the ones that Mark Waid ran, and some of the ones that Alex Ross
ran. I'm so disappointed
with James
when
Robinson.
I read that there were sequels. I'm like, I just never want to leave this book.
You didn't know that the kingdom existed?
I never want to leave this book. I never want to know about anything. It's like, this is it. This is my story. I read it. They go to the planet Krypton and have lunch. And
Jason, I've got good news for you.
No.
In the upcoming Convergence crossover, they're including Earth 22, the Earth of Kingdom Come, and you're going to learn so much that you didn't know before.
Nope.
Right before it goes away forever.
Yeah. No, they're all. It's the eternal lunch date. Let's just stop with the eternal lunch date.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Forever and ever, and Batman gets some sort of sundae that's named after Lex Luthor.
It's worse than that, though, because they actually bring back this universe and try to dovetail it in even before the upcoming Convergence thing. So
I did not originally get it because I didn't know that either of these characters existed, but we weren't introduced to Mr. Miracle and Big Barda first. We were introduced to their daughter, whose
Avia,
superhero getup is an exact mesh of both of their costumes, which looks 10 times more ridiculous than either of their costumes did on their own. And so that was one of the things that revisiting it that I got a particular amount of joy out of. Joy overall regarding photo references. Alex Ross, for whatever lumps anybody might want to give him, myself included, he is the painterly style guy who gets photo reference right, in stark contrast to guys like Greg Land who use porn stars.
How did you know I was thinking of Greg Land?
Because we are of mind on this point.
Because you need a bad photorealist comic book guy. That's who you go with.
A very interesting Captain Marvel anecdote at the recent Dallas Comic Con Fan Days show. One of their guests in particular, I was talking to somebody I was doing a Q&A for and talking about comic books, and in comes this English accented voice, and it was Colin Baker saying, "What are they doing with Captain Marvel now? I loved Captain Marvel when I was a boy. Is it Captain Marvel? I don't remember."
Not a bad Colin Baker.
Erica,
though.
There's nice your your Doctor Who anecdote. You do it.
I mean, she's on the show. We had
to
give her
happen.
Something.
Yeah. It's you just appear and they're and Chip too. Really, what is it? Earth 23,
Earth 22,
Earth 23.
Earth 23 is the one where Superman is an African American man who looks stunningly like a particular U.S. president.
Interesting.
Well, wow.
And Superman is president of the United States.
Wow. Moises, we're going to have to play a game with you sometime, which is name what Earth it is.
I've got to tell you, the only reason I know that is because I started picking up Action Comics when Greg Pak was writing it. Well, still is.
Yeah, sure, still is.
She came a long way from being created by the guy who invented the lie detector and had a huge bondage fetish.
Yes.
Yep.
We've discussed that.
We've discussed that, and I've seen the play. It's fascinating.
I'm not calling back to previous incomparable comic book clubs or anything.
Why not?
Why not?
I don't know. In classic comic book style, I should
Moulton
be in a caption
Marston
box.
Is a fascinating yes. character.
I highly yes. recommend the what is it? The Secret History of Wonder Woman by yeah. Jill Lepore.
Yeah. Yeah, fascinating. We did mention that on a previous episode.
Did anyone else read Norman's voice in Kingdom Come as Jimmy Stewart with a beard?
No. How does a beard's voice sound?
I will from now on, thanks
a lot. I don't know. Well, I mean, he has a beard in well, art, but I just, that's the voice that I heard in my head reading it originally.
Perhaps this is a sign of how many times I've read it, but I sort of kind of read around Norman at this point, where I can easily skip the panels he's in.
You keep waiting, Norman.
You keep waiting for him to do something, and he doesn't.
Oh, someone do a recut version of Kingdom Come that just eliminates Norman completely.
Yeah, altogether. Yeah. No, it's
yeah, it wouldn't change much.
No.
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah. So like I said, you can
neat
just
framing
kinda
device that doesn't do anything.
Well, the point where he gets pulled out of the other realm by the Flash.
But like nothing even happens then.
Nothing happens as a result of that at all.
No. And I what I really enjoy about this is how they imply that the Flash is like deeply psychologically messed up from living within dimensions, and they don't go into that at all, that you've got this crazy person who can move
this crazy
Mach
naked
for.
Person.
Yeah,
and that is exactly what has caused all of this crazy DC rebooting their continuity every 7 years. Oh god, I'm having PTSD flashbacks.
I also really enjoy how Green Lantern has retired to some giant satellite in the sky, and this in no way freaks out anybody ever that there's a big green glowing orb in their skyline with a balding man glowering on a throne, and I'm like, who lives there? Because you see that there's like little tiny villages scattered around his big satellite, and I thought, who wants to live you know what, I would like to relocate to outer space at the whim of a man with a magic ring. I think that's a great place to live.
He's got a whole city up there, and yet it seems that he's alone,
and
that's fascinating too.
He glowers all day.
Yeah, like who lives there is my question. And and how would you talk to somebody?
No one. Slaves.
I think maybe he was very optimistic when he set out to build this thing and thought, it's going to be great. So many people are going to get
here. Got a green city in the sky.
And he finishes it.
Who's with me?
And then they come and they take one look at him glowering.
They say, where's the supermarket? No, it's back on Earth. How do we get there? Well, you don't.
Your ring powers this? What happens if you get knocked out? I don't know. Wait, what? No, your ring powers this. If you sleep, does the ring get turned off? Does the ring keep going? Those would be all of my questions about it, because he's clearly generated it with his power ring. So there's that.
The other relevant continuity thing, like along with Batman's back being broken shortly before this, Hal Jordan becomes Parallax and kills a bunch of people and is no longer Green Lantern. And
why the Green Lantern in this story is Alan Scott, which is kind of weird.
Hmm. The 90s. I didn't mention this on the show, but reading the, was it a Wikipedia page maybe? But I read somewhere about how the Magog in Kingdom Come is essentially like, take all the things we hate about 90s superheroes and he basically said, it's Cable.
No, he's a cross. He's a cross between two Rob Liefeld characters, Cable and Shatterstar.
Yeah.
Ugh.
He's owned up to this
totally
publicly
extreme!
Because he hates Rob Liefeld so much.
I love the misbegotten sequels to this thing. You got it's like Wade and Alex Ross had a falling out or something, because you had the Wade sequel, The Kingdom, and then you had the Ross stuff with James Robinson in Justice Society comics. None of them agreed with each other. None of them. It's just.
La 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 la, I can't hear you. There was nothing.
Yeah, basically.
Nothing else. Just these. Nothing. No.
And in the multiversity guidebook,
I do.
They definitely acknowledge that this is one of the Earths that still exists.
All right. I'm going to wrap it up.
I would just like to briefly say that I'm a huge fan of Kurt Busiek, because a million years ago there was a blog called Fanboy Rampage, which kind of tracked ridiculous comic book fandom uproars, and both Kurt Busiek and Gail Simone would show up in the comments and just destroy people on it, and it was great.
I love Gail Simone so much. I don't even have the words to describe
Gail Simone
for her.
Yes.
So I've never read Astro City. Should I read Astro City?
Oh, you should read all of Astro City. All right. What's
Actually,
wrong with you?
Actually, I think with Kurt Busiek, it would be an interesting follow-up to read his take on Superman, because he's got that four-issue miniseries that they did where Clark Kent is a Pulitzer Prize-winning writer who also happens to be Superman, but it's exactly the other way around.
He also wrote really JLA good. / Avengers, which is absolutely the best DC / Marvel crossover you're going to get.
I think I've read that one.
JLA Avengers is pretty good.
Yeah, I think I've read that one. Mm-hmm.
The problem with being on the Incomparable podcast is I always end up ordering stuff off of Amazon every time I'm on one.
I know.
Well, this is happening on the Flash podcast, too, because Tony Sindelar like pre-reads everything and then says, oh, you need to read this to keep up what's going on. And so next thing you know, I'm on.
Damn you, Tony.
Yeah. No, it's
DC,
terrible.
DC really needs an unlimited service like Marvel Unlimited.
It really does. Yeah. I would buy that. I would dip into the back catalog of DC. I would love to do that. But
the problem
is, go buy a billion
DC, sure to use Jason's affiliate account.
DC so deeply doesn't want you to acknowledge that any of that past continuity that they've erased seven times exists. there are things like Mark Waid's Flash run is not in print. Not in print at all. There's stuff that they just willfully keep out of print, even pre-New 52 stuff. They keep some stuff in print, like Geoff Johns, all of his Green Lantern stuff just got reprinted in an omnibus, but there are all of these really, really good stories that you can actually only get in back issue bins and out of print trade paperbacks that people scalp for $100.
And you'd think that like there's a character on Flash named Cisco Ramon, and you know he's going to be Vibe, but can you get any Vibe out there? Where's Justice League Detroit? Nowhere, that's where.
Mm-hmm. Well, they tried a New 52 Vibe series, and unfortunately, it failed massively.
You can't class that character up. He's goofy.
No.
They tried to make it to where he could vibrate between dimensions or something.
Yeah, he's supposed to be so powerful that he can detect faults in the Earth's crust, and it's just...
They were setting him up to do Vibe Point.
Yeah, no, George Perez was like, look, this character is crazy racist. That's actually in the Wikipedia entry for Vibe where George Perez is like, no, I'm on the record as saying this character is crazy racist. I'm never going to include him in my comics. And true to form, like, you see a leg in one panel, and that was his, fine, there's your Vibe. And that was it. So
it's like the episode of The Next Generation where they go to like Planet Africa and it's super racist. Oh, and you notice Michael Dorn is not in that episode at all.
Yeah.
That is so bad.
Superman Secret Identity is the one I want everyone to read, because Kurt Busiek does a phenomenal job with that. And between that and Superman Red Sun are like two of my favorite alt Superman stories.
Red Sun.
Yeah, Red Sun is great, especially Lex Luthor in that one.
Superman Red Sun is one of the alternate Earths in Grant Morrison's The Multiversity.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Exploring all of the multiverse.
That's one of the only other ones I've read.
Huh.
Yeah. I feel very strongly that there's things to be talked about with Grant Morrison. So.
Jason, you're putting the chairs on the table right now, aren't you?
Yeah, he is. We'll let him go. All right.
I find Grant
Morrison. All right, guys.
Kind of
so really got to close up now.
Such a pleasure. Good night.
Yes, thank you, everybody.
Enjoyed it so much. Let's do it again.
We'll do it again sometime. Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.